Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, and here with two really cool guys that you're going to enjoy getting to know if you do not already know them. Preston Howard and Danny Myers are here with us, two men from Sagemont. Both are active, out and about, doing things. But today specifically, we're going to talk about a ministry that I know is very dear to both of your hearts. Fathers in the Field is a ministry that is here at Sagemont. And how long has it been around? I still feel like it's new, but it's probably been a few years now.
So we're in our second year.
Second year. Okay, so it is fairly new. Okay, so one of you just explain, what is Fathers in the Field? Because it sounds like it's a thing for dads.
No.
Sometimes.
Let me touch on it. So Fathers in the Field is, it's a ministry here at Sagemont where we take fatherless boys and we spend 3 years with them and we help heal the fatherless wound that they've experienced. And we do that through just a very set curriculum, but in itself, it's a ministry here that focuses solely on fatherless boys.
And talk about what categorizes a fatherless boy?
It's essentially, look, it's a boy growing in a home with a single mom.
With
right?
a single mom.
Where the dad is not at all involved in the kid's life, and he is literally growing up fatherless.
Yeah. So it could be a mom that's a widow.
Could be absolutely a widow. Yep. It could be a divorcee. I mean, there's a whole lot of family
situations. All the different ways where that becomes what is happening.
Yep.
Yeah. And so how did y'all even hear about this? Because it's not something that Sagemont created, right? Is it a national organization or is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. And so if folks here, you know, at Sagemont, you're probably familiar with Bill and Evelyn Thompson. And so Evelyn has been connected with Fathers in the Field for a number of years. She's been on the board of directors. And you say, wow, how is that possible? Evelyn Thompson, as many of you know, also is Evelyn's husband, or whose husband passed away in the Columbia. You know, so he was the captain.
He was the captain.
Columbia. So what's her situation? Well, guess what? She was the mother of a fatherless boy. And so she connected to that ministry instantly because she went through all the challenges of having of being a widow, raising kids, having a situation where dad was instantly not there anymore. And so she experienced that struggle, the challenges, the difficult conversations at church, the difficult conversations, and her son, who is Matthew, and he will tell you that he was quite a challenge as a kid, and because he went through all these emotions, right?
Okay.
And how do you take a boy through that? And obviously there's counseling options and things
sure.
like that. But many families don't even have the counseling options.
Sure.
And they just know that they're hurting and they don't know why. And so Fathers in the Field comes along and gives these young boys an opportunity to spend time with someone that's there specifically just to love on them, to care for them, to share the love of Jesus. And so that's why she connected with it so strongly. That's why she felt so passionately about it. And then she's the one that basically introduced that to this church from Fathers in the Field. And it's pretty cool how that ministry operates as far as they do have missionaries throughout the country. These are folks that are supported by just like you would say, missionary, right? They get their own support and they go out there and they work with churches. And so we have our own missionary here. His name is Justin. He works in the Texas area. And so they help churches come alongside.
So what exactly do, if a mom, a single mom's listening and saying, I would love for my son to potentially be a part of this, what exactly are the boys signing up for? Like, what do y'all do? Is it just meeting? Is it hanging out? Is it going places? Is it, do y'all have a curriculum? Like, what exactly are the father figure doing with
about
the boys?
About the covenant, about the commitment?
Yeah, so it is, one, when they sign up, what they're doing is they're saying, look, this is a three-year curriculum, but we're going to do one-year commitments at a time.
Okay.
And what's really nice is Fathers in the Field, this national ministry, they have it, I mean, workbooks, lesson plans, guided conversations,
okay.
so that you take this this boy through a very intentional journey through the gospel, through fatherhood, through forgiveness, all the way through. And so what it looks like tangibly is, I mean, a guy like Danny, he says, look, I'm going to go take you to church twice a month.
Okay.
All right. So that you get intentional time in the church body. And then I'm going to come bring you along with my hobbies.
Okay.
We're going to go spend time doing things that I enjoy, and we're going to come alongside me.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time is we're going to go provide a service project to a widow.
Cool.
And so it's really nice because in this very intentional time spent together, you're spending time at church, you're spending time doing a hobby, something fun, and then you're spending time providing service to another I mean, widows are called out in the Bible as a precious class, a precious group of people, and you're providing service to them.
That's really cool. So it's a commitment.
It is a commitment.
And is there, how big of a process is it to actually be able to be a part of it?
So we are, I mean, think about this. You're going to be spending a lot of one-on-one time with a boy. Mm-hmm. So there is a very strict selection process to make sure that we're choosing men of high character. Danny's a fantastic example of that. And then there's also, look, we go through background checks. We go through training. There's things like that so that when you do begin to work with a boy, you are prepared. Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where both the mother feels comfortable and we as well, that we can go through that.
Right. And then I think I've heard that even for the boys, there is a process of, is this the right fit for him to be a part of this ministry?
That's right. Yeah. And we've actually had boys come in and we've said, look, the commitment's not there. I mean, we sit down and go through something. It's called a signing ceremony. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. It is a signing ceremony. Mm-hmm. And we talk about commitments and we're very big on accountability because that accountability creates something within a boy, within a young man. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it is holding them accountable.
And I love that it's, listen, I'm a mama, I get it, but a mom can't go do this and the boy not be on board.
Yeah, the boy's got to be on board.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a part of the decision. Yeah.
Yep. And usually what happens is, and Danny's seen this, is usually they're a bit timid up front because they're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. They hear what you're describing, but they haven't experienced it yet. And then once they experience it, and they realize what it's like to have a man come alongside them and commit to them. Wow. I mean, it's you really see just inside out changes and their commitment just it really just comes out because they realize this is something important. This is providing something in my life that I didn't know I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to experience. I know, Danny, you've come to us and said, man, the boy came alive.
Yeah. Right? That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say you both are dads.
Mm-hmm.
You're, what are they, deacon? Not the head deacon, but the second deacon?
Vice chairman.
There you go. Vice chairman. I'm like, that's the second one. So you serve a ton of, have a full-time job, mm-hmm. work, have four kids. You have a business, children, grandchildren. Serve at the church. If you come to VBS, he's going to be dancing on stage. You'll see him. We'll see him on the worship team, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big commitment for men as well. What called y'all to say yes to this ministry?
There's a couple things to discuss about that. Number one is, as he was talking about the organization of the ministry, that was something that, I mean, you think of ministries, you think of things that we do as a church, you think this particular ministry has so much, I would say, organization and proven history. Mm-hmm. Put it that way. Because it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to start this ministry, we're going to help these boys. And you just go, you're flippantly at something like that, you're going to get smacked down. Honestly, you're going to get smacked down because there's so many pitfalls, there's so many challenges. This ministry had already been around for 17 years whenever we started here. 17 years. So they had quite a track history. And in that 17-year history, think about who you're working with. Troubled boys, and many times teens, mm-hmm. right? Calling out for help, and they're doing things that they probably shouldn't be. And guess what? Not a single accusation of any kind of wrongdoing of the mentor fathers in 17-year history.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think, number one, I think God really protected the ministry. I think God has a hand of protection on this ministry, number one. Number two, they're doing their due diligence to do the right things as a ministry to protect the boy and to protect the mentor father. Mm-hmm. We call them mentor fathers. I don't know if we talked about that. So we call them field buddies. and then the dads are the mentor fathers. Mm-hmm. And so to protect both of them, that situation, to protect even the relationship between them and the family, so like mm-hmm. the other children or the mother, mm-hmm. those kind of things. There's all these things that are put in place to make this, to keep this thing above reproach, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so that was amazing to me. So number one, number two, about the organization of it is it gave me a sense of assurance going into it that it wasn't going to be on me. It wouldn't be on mm-hmm. my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I would be remiss if we didn't talk about is that there's this amazing team behind the mentor fathers. So we have the mentor fathers. Sure, they're the ones that look like they're out there in front,
right.
so to speak, right? They're the one working directly on the front lines. But behind that, we have just as many, actually more people on what we call a church champions team mm-hmm. that are working behind the scenes. And that's, you have people that are actually doing recruiting, you know, they're actually looking for mothers, and they do situation where they do like mother interviews, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, single mother interviews. We have church champions. Each one of the mentor fathers has a church champion that we're able to call and ask questions mm-hmm. or pray with, or mm-hmm. they call and check on us, how are things going? And these are fantastic
yeah.
folks to have on our team that
yeah.
are in our corner. We have, of course, Jenny and Preston. You know, they are the main church champions, right?
Yeah.
Right. Bill and Evelyn started that. They were the initial ones, and then they handed the torch
yeah.
to Preston and Jenny. And we even have people on our team, medical team. We have all these folks. Hmm. I mean, you go to a church champions meeting, you walk in there, and there's just a room full of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in itself, and I'm just kind of speaking right now to any dad, to any man out there that might be considering this, is that it's not just you and that boy. That for the relationship, yeah, it's you and that boy. But as far as what's supporting you behind that and helping you, There's curriculum. There's a team called Fathers in the Field, and then we have a team here mm-hmm. at Sagemont of our Church Champions team.
Yeah.
And whenever we've shown up to events and everything, they're like, "Wow, look at that group of people!"
Yeah,
you know, it's just mm-hmm. We're not doing it alone. And so going into it, I knew there was a group of people behind,
yeah.
and so that made it for me doable. You know, like you said, you have a job, you have all these other things
yeah.
going on. The other thing about it is that they hammered in. I'm talking about Fathers in the Field, hammered in, is that, yes, it's a 3-year commitment, 1-year increments, mm-hmm. right? 1 year, okay? But what are you actually committing to? Really, you're just committing to four, meeting with that young boy four times a month, and two of those are coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
You probably come to church more than twice a month, so you're bringing him along with you,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's
yeah.
that one's pretty easy. And then the other two, it's a service project, and then it's just hanging out.
So part of this church champion team is mm-hmm. we have a leader who's responsible for arranging those service projects.
Okay, so the dads aren't having to come up with what are we going to go do?
The dads, hey, come on, this Saturday we've got one arranged. It's a group
okay.
of mentor fathers are going to go and support a widow, but mm-hmm. we as a church champion team provide that support where we take care of that planning aspect. So all you're really focused on are the conversations and the time mm-hmm. you're spending with the boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we create these, as best we can, create the opportunities where it's able to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, so Fathers in the Field is focused on the boy. Is there a part of Fathers in the Field that does anything with the mother as well? Like reaching out or helping that their relationship or what they're going through?
There is. So Danny touched on the church champion team.
Yeah.
So for every mentor father field buddy relationship,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a male church champion that is there for support and prayer for the mentor father, and then there's going to be a female church champion who is there for the single mother.
Cool.
And so the female church champion is there for conversations, mm-hmm. but she's also there to help connect the single mother into connect groups,
yeah.
and to help get them plugged into the church. And so While the ministry is extremely focused on the fatherless boy,
mm-hmm.
we do work with a single mother to get her plugged into the church, because that's, I mean, if you think about that family, that can be extremely impactful to the family in
Absolutely.
Itself and to the single mother.
Yeah.
For her to be able to find a community and for her to be able to get plugged into the church.
Well, and that's what I was thinking was, if two times a month the boy's getting to come to church,
mm-hmm.
it's like, is the mom... You know, is there a way that mom's going, hey, we want you to
yep.
come too? So yeah. that's awesome.
I will say that for what I've experienced is that whenever they're more likely, the rest of the family's more likely to come to church whenever the mentor, field buddy's coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I did notice that.
We've
it's
seen
just
that.
Much more frequently they're coming on the same Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he's not coming, there's not as much, you know, motivation maybe to get up in the morning or mm-hmm. to get the other kids
sure.
ready. Mm-hmm. And so they're making a way to get there on those same Sundays, I found.
Yeah. And I guess, let me ask this, are most of the field buddies, the boys involved, are they Sagemont kids, like Sagemont Church kids? Do they have to be here at the church, or is it community, or how do y'all go through that part?
So we reach out into the community, but they're all Sagemont
okay.
kids. Now, a lot of them may not be like regular Sagemont attendees.
Right, sure, sure.
But they're all within the Sagemont community area.
Okay.
And I know we've got one family. I mean, they went to the Discovery Stop lunch. I mean, they're becoming members.
Cool.
This is a big deal for that family, getting plugged into the mm-hmm. church. And it all started with the boy getting engaged with Fathers in the Field.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I would say that to answer that question a little bit further is that when it comes to what's a you look at Sagemont, it's a pretty big church. We have a lot of resources. I will say that we are short on mentor fathers. And there are more, we have more boys than we do, even within just the ones that are, so we have folks on the team that are to outreach and find more boys, but we already have a list.
We have four, actually.
We have a list
that are
right
waiting
now,
for
like a waiting list. And so.
So what do y'all say to the guys that are listening going, I don't have time?
I would ask you to really challenge that.
Because I would say you two people could, for 100%, say, I don't have time. It's not like y'all are sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, you know? So how do you, what is that?
We've got another mentor father. Look, he's in his 30s. He's got three kids under the age of four and a newborn, and he's doing it.
Hmm.
And I think it's, I really don't think it's a question of, do I have time? I think it's a question of, does your heart ache for these boys,
mm-hmm.
right? These boys didn't ask to be put in this home, right? I mean, it's not like they didn't do anything to be in this situation,
mm-hmm.
but yet God has put the church in place, has this ministry in place for us to minister to them. And we've heard stories where, I mean, quite literally a trajectory of a boy's life has completely changed because of this, all because a man stood up and said, you know what, I think I can commit to four meetings. I think I can bring a boy alongside me when I go do my hobbies.
Right.
I think I can pick a boy up when I come to church. And I think I can go do a service project with him once
mm-hmm.
a month. And that in of itself, I mean, literally, I mean, I know we know of at least two in our ministry. And then there's a third one we've heard nationally where, I mean, literally, trajectory of their life has completely changed now.
Yeah. What, I mean, you've had a buddy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. two? Have you already had? I can't remember.
Yes,
now.
Yeah, I'm on the second one. But can I address that just a little further
yeah,
on
please.
That point there? Because you're saying you're busy, right? And we're all busy. If you're in America, you're busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, you know, I've heard people say things like, "Hey, you know, I can go to church and still be a good Christian. I can do this and be a good Christian." And our there's a wise man once said, "Can you be disobedient to God's word and be a good Christian?" You know, can you be disobedient? Well, what are the things that we're called to do in the Bible? And there's some pretty clear ones when it comes to the fatherless and the widows.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where it hit me. It was just like, okay, it's just literally we're trying to be obedient to God's word. And as a mm-hmm. church, what I was so excited to see Sagemont get involved in this, whenever I really saw the bigger picture, I was like, this is us fulfilling the thing that we're called to do as a church. To look after those that can't look after themselves. And so you see on the scripture here, you know, you have Isaiah 1:17 on this side, James 1:23. Those are the two mm-hmm. Kind of main verses. And let me just read those to you real quickly, because those really touch on what, and these are not going to be, you know what these verses are. So Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do what is good, seek justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. So we're called directly to do this. We're called. We're called to look after those that can't look after themselves. And you think about, like, who are the most, I would say, the ones that are are hurting right now? Who are the ones that are hurting in our space? Go back in time. Go back in the Old Testament. Go back to see what happened back even in the New Testament with widows. Right? What was their situation? They were pretty desperate because if they didn't have a husband, they didn't really have a lot of legal standing. They didn't have property rights. They didn't have all these things. So a lot of times they were destitute. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, thank the Lord that widows today are not destitute, but we have. But look at that situation, and now look at the mother. The single moms. A lot of times you say, you know what, single moms are kind of like that widow of the past. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a husband. What are their situation? Yeah, hey, we say maybe they made some bad choices. But many times, and half of the ones that we have on our thing, they were literally widows. Their husbands died. And so it did either one of those situations is really difficult and challenging. And we as believers, as we as Christians, we as those that are seeking to honor the Lord through our religion, right, through living out our faith, it is to help and support them come along. So my plea for these fathers or anybody watching out there to say, how can you be challenged? When I've taught Sunday school before in the past, you know what? Sometimes I got the best teaching out of it. Because it's an intentional time where you're teaching and you're studying, and you get the best lesson. Even if you only had four people show up that week, you got a lesson. Mm-hmm. Look at Fathers in the Field. You're going to church. Mm-hmm. You're doing a service project, and you're spending time with this boy. It's like sometimes the father may be getting more out of this than he realizes that he's putting into this boy.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say that and address that it's really a direct call from Scripture. It's really a direct call from the Lord to do this. And so that's the challenge upon all of us.
I think another thing, too, is, look, God's been pretty clear in His Scripture. if this is an ache on your heart and you commit to it, look, I am absolutely convinced God's going to provide a way,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he will provide opportunities, provide circumstances, because he said this is important to him. And if you come forward as a servant and say, look, I want to come alongside and get involved in this, I'm absolutely convinced and have seen it where God creates opportunities. He creates mm-hmm. the ways for it to happen.
Yeah, I love that. Talk a little bit. Share just some stories of things y'all have got to see happen just in the last 2 years at Sagemont of watching boys come alive, like you said, or watching mm-hmm. them bloom. What are some mm-hmm. of those things that you're like, y'all, this is the blessing of putting in the work because we get to see God working?
Oh, Danny,
So we were talking and obviously confidentiality and everything, but it's not a secret that I've had some challenges just because the older a boy gets and enters the program, mm-hmm. enters the ministry, it's sometimes more challenging
because
they've already been experiencing these hurts for a long mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. and so they've been dealing with this for a long time and not typically in a healthy way, right? And so I will say that while it was extremely challenging the first one, it's been extremely rewarding, and especially here where a year later, because my first field buddy needed to also get some further help. But because of God's grace, because of God's providence and all that, mm-hmm. he was able to use my relationship with him to really protect him. And his mother told me that he probably would not be here mm-hmm. Had it not been for our relationship, because he was actually not doing well and was considering hurting himself and those kind of things. And so, but not only did he not do that, but he also came to know Jesus mm-hmm. through the relationship. And he asked me to baptize him, and so we got to do that,
mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty awesome. And then he's doing great. Obviously, still challenges, but he's doing great. And then the other one I would say, you know, just another situation is that like you mentioned earlier, Preston had mentioned, sometimes these boys are so closed. Because they're so guarded, right?
Yeah.
They're so guarded because they've been hurt so many times, and they're continuing to be hurt. And so to see them open up is pretty amazing. And sometimes the funniest things might make them open up. It's the unexpected thing. It's not the, hey, I brought you to church today and you responded to the Lord. It was like, no, we were out doing something went wrong. Mm-hmm. And in both situations, the biggest breakthrough I had with these boys was whenever I messed up.
Mm.
like, you know, we were off-roading and I literally flipped a side-by-side on its side, okay? You know, they're not called side-by-sides because they're supposed to be on the side. but it was like, it was a breakthrough. It was just the most fun. He was just like, that was amazing. So it's funny what ends up being a breakthrough moment. And then the other thing is when we do our journey, the guidebook that we go through, it's really been amazing just to hear, because that's an intentional time where we sit down and go through this book and we look at scripture together and we look at this and God really blesses that time, because it's been the best, I would say, opening moments for these conversations. And it's been, and so it, those things, they overshadow any of the challenges.
Yeah.
And they make it all worth the while.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. And I think it is so important for people that are thinking about this. You're not going to get in a situation where a boy needs more than what you're qualified to give and not have the support.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I know even when we do things with women's ministry and different things, I'm like, listen, these are the red flags that you need to let me know, that we need to let counseling know, or outside people know, that as, you know, that we're not licensed professional counselors. We're not those kinds of things. And so I think that's even encouraging.
It is. It should be encouraging. Yeah. And Danny talked about the support, but we have real clear boundaries. Hey, this is y'all's wheelhouse. This is the conversations you have. Anything outside of here, we have the Sagemont Counseling Center. Yep. We had some other outside resources that were able to be brought in. And so, I mean, it's not, I think the mentor fathers need to understand that you are well supported. And you have really good guidelines that you fall within, so that if it gets outside of that, we'll give you clear direction on what to do.
Which I think is great. And I think that's one of the things, I didn't realize the ministry had been around for as long as it had been. But man, over those years, they've had the things that have made them put the procedures in place and the logistics and all of that. So walking into it now, you're like, we have all these things in place. Which is makes the ministry flow nicely
and allows you to work with confidence.
Yes,
that you can really lean into it, and you know that, man. Okay, we're not going to get side. You know, we're not going to get derailed,
right,
or anything like that. You can really, and just like Danny mentioned, it should and does give men the confidence to lean into this.
Yeah, I love it so much. I think it's a really cool thing, and I think it's neat because, at least what I think from the outside looking in. Most of the men that are part of this ministry, it's not just them. I see their wives with them. I see the family is like, we're supporting you going and being a part of this. And so getting to see the whole family get to be a part of something like this.
True. Yeah, no, it is. True. It is. It turns into definitely a husband-wife thing, but then a family thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really,
that's a real healthy aspect of it too, to be able to, for the field buddy to be able to see how he interacts with his wife,
in a healthy
relationship.
Yes.
So, there was a dispute, there was a disagreement, and there was no yelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was correcting, you know, a child, and he took them in the other room to talk to them rather than doing it in front of everybody else. Mm-hmm. All these things that you'll see, and so spending time with the family is important as well. Obviously, you need to have one-on-one time, but the activities and going and doing things and going to church, all that's together as a family, going out for lunch.
Yeah.
And so seeing them, how he interacts with the rest of the family is a critical piece of
that
too. Yeah.
So if a mom's watching that's a young widow that has a 9-year-old boy and is hearing this, what's her next step? What does she do? Who does she reach out to?
Well, probably the easiest way for her to work is once a month we'll have our Fathers in the Field ministry booth set up along the ministry
booth there. Here at Sagemont,
Come and find us.
Just come say something.
Yeah, come and say something.
That's somebody's there that has information that can help you.
You'll see our banner out. You'll see the logo on the screen. Mm-hmm. But come find us and let us know that you want us to consider your son, and you'd like for him to be a part of the ministry.
Start the process.
And outside of that, they could reach out to the church too, right? And then the church can pass along information.
Yeah.
Because, there's no telling when this video gets watched.
Yeah. Right? So it could be whenever.
It could be,
And then what about men that are watching that are saying, hey, there's 4 boys that need me. How long does it take me to get certified and qualified to be able to do it? Who do I talk to? What do I do?
So same thing. Come to the ministry booth. Mm-hmm. Let us know you're interested. Outside of that,
Look for somebody wearing a Fathers in the Field shirt.
Anybody wearing this blue shirt, come find us.
You see Fathers in the Field, ask them about it. And there's intentional times. We have Father's Day coming up, right?
Yes. Father's Day
is coming up, and there'll be a lot of people wearing those shirts.
But oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great to know. So on Father's Day, the blue shirt.
The blue shirts, we're also going to have tables set up in the foyer to be able to address questions.
On Father's Day. Great. Okay, that's good to know.
And then there's also going to be an informational lunch. A week later, where we can really dig into questions and we can really dig into the ministry for men that are interested.
Do they sign up for that?
They will sign up for that. Yeah, we'll have a QR code ready. You can scan and sign up.
Awesome.
And then come for a lunch, learn about the ministry.
And that's for the mom or the man that wants to be for either party, for the fatherless boy or the man, or is it just for the...
Informational session is mainly targeted on the men.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Right now, like I said, we've got four boys waiting. Some of them have been waiting for over a year.
Oh wow!
And so we've got boys ready, and I'm absolutely convinced there are men in the church that could do a fantastic job and really make an impact on boys' lives.
Yeah, and y'all, that's one of the huge reasons I wanted them to come on is because I think there are men that could do it. They just don't know about it.
Yeah,
they don't know what it is. Yeah. They don't know that it's out there. What it would. Require of them or any of that. So,
which is why we have the informational session. You can come talk face to face with mentor fathers that are doing it. Yeah. You can come ask questions in the ministry, but we'll have a set time for us to be able to really dig in and help people get comfortable with what it takes and what the impacts are.
Yeah. And guys, if you're watching this and you're like, I'm not going to be there Father's Day, or I didn't see a blue shirt or whatever, you can always reach out to me here at the church and I will make sure you get the information that you need to get to the right people and all that kind of stuff. I'll just give you Preston's phone number. It'll be fine.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness though, we are looking for men. Yeah. This ministry is making a real impact in lives. And we want to see it grow.
Yeah.
And in order to grow, we need men interested and willing to commit.
Yeah. To get to be a part of it. So I'm excited to hear, hopefully in a couple of months or something, hey, we got dads for those four boys and our waiting list is cleared. So y'all, that's the prayer. And even if you're like, I'm not a single mom, I don't have a son, I'm not a guy, pray for this ministry. Yeah. Pray for the boys. Pray for the moms. Pray for the men that are meeting with the boys. Just cover this ministry in prayer. It's the first thing that we should do for people is just to cover this ministry in prayer. And so I think that's a huge way Sagemont can come alongside is praying for y'all and praying for this ministry. So absolutely. I so appreciate y'all coming and talking about it today. Hopefully, if this is your first time to hear about this ministry, you're excited about it. If it's one that you're like, I've seen those shirts, but I didn't know what it was. Now you do. And really ask the Lord, just how can you be a part of this ministry here at Sagemont? And when you see these guys in the blue shirts, if nothing else, go up and say, hey, thank you. Thank you for giving your time. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. And just encourage them as they continue to do this. So, and I will say, you will see these guys walking around church. I know both of them. They would love for you to come up and ask a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Or they'll share more stories with you and encourage you on maybe it's the right thing for you to do. So I know they would both love to chat with you about this if you run into them. So thank y'all for giving time to come hang out today. I so appreciate it. Thank y'all for what you're doing in this ministry here at Sagemont. It's really neat to get to see what all it's becoming. Thank y'all for hanging out with us today, and we will see you next time on Table Talk.